an agenda that's going to require accommodating different people. Y'all said Shane was going to be here. I've got administration hearings again at 10, so I'd like to get through as much as we can. Cheryl, well, first of all, is there any commissioner who wants to take action on the burn ban?
No.
Green board. All right. Then let's take up item 9. Cheryl Jones, consideration of possible approval for Bill Stewart to provide assessment to allow for storage of records. Morning.
Good morning. I'm just requesting that Bill Stewart, who is an engineer, to assess the structural capability to house a possible more efficient way to store our records in the basement of our office. He will be assessing our back room and down in the, our designated areas in the basement. And what we have now is pretty inadequate. And so we're looking to kind of face some more efficient ways of storage. And, but we also want to make sure that the building is structurally sound to handle that. And so this expense would come out of the district clerk records management fund. And I'll be glad to take any of you on a tour to show you, you know, what the need is.
You should know what we did for the district attorney's office when he had his raising order to have their big new file system up there.
Yes.
And it's something you, the files also, when you do that, you have money in your budget for that too.
Right.
I move that we allow district clerk to enter into an agreement with Bill Stewart to do a feasibility study. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
I would second that.
Feasibility study for the,
for
the storage installment of stock storage, the file storage.
No. Okay.
All right. Motion and second on the floor. All in favor indicate. All right. That's it.
Okay. Now, Sharon.
Thank you, Cheryl. Larry Hayter, consideration of possible approval of Mountain View Estates plat. It's probably not ready yet. All right, the next item is consideration of possible approval of a lease renewal with True Core Juvenile Detention, well, for the Brown County Juvenile Detention Building. And of course, this has been before us now for some weeks. It's going into months. I'm going to start it off by making a motion that we approve the renewal with TrueCore pursuant to our previous lease with them, but at an increased rental of $8,000 per month. This renewal would be effective as of the end date of our previous lease, with the monthly rent to be payable at the beginning of each month. So, and with a clause in it, just like the previous lease, or different than the previous lease, that any renewal, it'll provide for renewal at the mutual consent of the parties, so that if Brown County decides they don't want to renew it, they don't have to. If True Core decides they don't renew it, they don't have to. And I'll also tell you that the insurance, True Core is looking into that. They have not found all the records on their insurance, whether they have paid or not paid. If they have not paid for their own policy, they will reimburse us. I've gotten those assurances from them. Anyway, that's the motion.
Shane, as county attorney, do you have an opinion on the, on that? Can, are we able to enter into this lease?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say is I think that it's pretty, it's just not very typical to in situations such as this, typically you get legal advice in the executive session. And I don't know why we haven't considered the executive session to discuss this lease. It seems like there's a lot of heartache, consternation amongst the commissioner's court for no other reason than it's been put on the agenda now for 4 weeks, I guess, or so.
It's been put on the agenda three
and
times.
And passed.
Well, it's been passed because not all of us have been there.
And so it seemed to me like this is the type of topic that you would want to have an executive session, if you want to get legal opinions to talk about it in an executive session. And so.
Well, I'll give you a legal opinion from a real estate lawyer right now, and that is as to waiving the notice that was not given. That can be waived.
Absolutely.
Period.
And if
that was your question, Gary, I know that that's part of your concern.
Well, and of course, then we're getting into the part that what you talk about in an executive session. But yes, to answer your question, I agree with you that can be waived. I think that is something that needs to be waived by the commissioner's court as a whole. I mean, that may be the appropriate motion, is to waive the notice requirement because voting on a renewal of a lease is assuming that we're waiving the notice requirement. So we haven't waived the notice requirement yet. Now that is, I'm assuming that they didn't provide notice. I don't know that.
No, there was no notice wasn't provided.
And so,
I mean, I would amend my motion to include a waiver by the commissioner's court of the notice.
And so, just so we're all kind of on the same page, I mean, the original contract, and I don't know who's read it, who hadn't, but it was, there was a requirement that said in order to renew it, they had to provide written notice not less than 180 days prior to, I think it was March the 14th. And so apparently they did not provide written notice to the county that they wanted to renew it, so therefore it expires on its own because it was not renewed. Then it then converts, I guess, to a month-to-month contract if it's not renewed. And so that would be the first consideration the court would need to take up, would be, are you going to waive that requirement? Because if the court's not going to raise the requirements of a written notice, then there's not a lease.
That's the conservative way to do it. I mean, you said it. By renewing, if we were to renew the lease, that would assume we waived the notice, and that's sort of assumed, but I have, just to make it clear, I would add that to the motion, that the court waives the notice and that we renew the lease at the price stated and on the terms that I gave.
Right. And so the important consideration for the court is if it's not, that's a, then it becomes a policy issue, not a legal issue. It just, it becomes an issue of, you have complete control, do you want to renew it or do you not want to renew it? It's not, you don't have to, nobody can force you to, nobody can make you renew it. It's just, do you want to renew it? Do you think it's good for Brown County to renew it? You know, that's different than being in a situation where you have to renew it.
Right.
That's right.
And
you,
so nobody,
you're correct.
And so nobody's making you, nobody's saying you have to do anything. It's completely up to you whether or not you think it's good for Brown County to renew it. And if you don't, they don't have any recourse. It's not, they can't sue you to force, anybody can sue anybody, but I mean, it's, they can't force you to renew it. It's just completely your option whether or not you renew it. If you think it's a good idea to renew it, renew it. If you don't, don't.
Well, that is an issue that the courts
will. We don't have to litigate.
Here's a scenario though that I have researched before, and and I've run into it before, and that is continued possession by a tenant who has an option to renew without demand to vacate over a period of time can be construed by the court to be a waiver of your right to require notice.
But that's typically in leases that don't have a written requirement. If there's no written requirement and they, and you allow them to stay in there and continue to occupy, then you've acquiesced to their renewal.
Well,
maybe.
Not the cases that I've read. But there was a written requirement, and that's what was waived. If there's not a written requirement, then there's really not a renewal.
That's what we're considering waiving. It hasn't been waived.
Anyway. It falls down to, it is a question of policy.
Yeah, right.
So we waive, like Judge West said, waive the written requirement and enter into the lease or renewal. Everything is, I mean, not everything's not going to be just rosy peaches and peaches of cream. But that is our right and our call, one way or the other. That's right. If we want to, we don't.
Right.
Now, I have talked to Catherine in the legal department at TAC, never can remember last name, about the matter. And she also, she concurred with that. She, that it's policy, it's just up to us.
Yeah.
And also concerning the renewal issue, we together found one Attorney General's opinion concerning adding renewal clauses to leases. And it was to the effect that a county may do that. It was an opinion written back in the Maddox days, I believe. And I have a copy of it. I'm not sure if I have it in my file or not, but in any event, it's just, it's clear as mud. But she said there's nothing that she can find, and there was nothing I can find that prohibits us from adding a renewal clause to the second lease that we signed with them, should we choose to do that.
Now, I will say the original, and I don't have it, the original lease that was entered into 5 years ago clearly stated that if it's renewed, it would, there would be one renewal period, and that would be it.
Well,
We have a
policy decision, and that is we're changing the terms of the lease anyway from the standpoint of the consideration paid.
Right. Well, and I will tell you, I think that it's very, depending on your perspective, I think the county is fortunate in that. If there was somebody or somebody's who thought that the original terms were not favorable, and I'm not saying they are or they're not, I'm just saying if there's people that think that there's not, we're very fortunate because it would have been very easy for them to renew the contract for 5 years and they didn't. And so, you know, this kind of gives them a chance to kind of start over. If somebody's unhappy with the original contract, it kind of gives everybody a chance to start over from scratch.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing.
And to me, it looks like the next opportunity to go out for proposals or bids to see what other options are out there before we jump back on this one. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Did you get the amendment to the motion?
I was going to ask you if you
my motion is for the Commissioner's Court to vote to waive the written notice of intent to renew and to enter into a renewal lease with TruCorp, $8,000 a month, and with a subsequent, and it's really sort of an irrelevant thing, but a clause also that would give TruCorp and the county the ability to renew that lease again, should they both choose to do so. Now, if for whatever grounds the county decides not to do so in 5 years, whether for legal grounds, money grounds, whatever, we don't have to. So that protects the county.
We did that in 5 years, so I was just asking that.
Yes, 5 years. With a 5-year renewal. Now, and that's the motion.
I would second that motion, Judge.
Okay. I know there will be comments, so floor's open to comments. Questions or comments?
Once again, I'll comment, why don't we go out for bid so we can get to see what our options are before jumping on the one.
I feel like there's been a lot of misinformation on probably both sides. They did not give written notice.
And they did not say that.
And we were led to believe that early that there were no other leases around to compare it to. Know that there are. And one of the leases, we were led to believe that they had a 1-year lease, which turned out to be an 8-year lease with a 7-year option. So I mean, it's just been too many little things that hadn't added up to me.
Well.
And first of all, they come with a $40,000 a year lease. But all this starts, and all of a sudden they come up with $8,000 a month. That's to me shows they didn't act good faith start. So there's my stand on the deal.
To the end that you were, that I said that I couldn't find any leases, I was looking for contracts between counties. The lease that you have found is with an individual owner of property who leased it for juvenile detention. And I mean, it's kind of hard to check 254 counties.
It's not. We have similar leases, and you know, I don't think you have been leading it on purpose, but the fact is, there is such things, you know.
At least one.
This outfit's got two leases, one to use also.
Any other questions?
Well, I think the G4S is, or TrueCore as it is now, showed that they wanted to keep leasing it by the simple fact that they put well over the $200,000 into our building and repaired it. I don't know what the actual figure is. I've heard several different numbers, but I know it's at least double the $200,000 that we had asked for. And I think that doesn't guarantee them a renewal, but it gets them consideration for the renewal because they have put that money into our building. And like I said, it gets them consideration for the renewal, the motion that Judge West put before us all ago.
Here's a sort of a recap of the statements of what G4S Group is doing. And they have been a good partner with local vendors.
The total here is $854,000 plus dollars that they put into our building. So I think that doesn't guarantee them, but it gives them a consideration for the renewal.
Any other comments? Okay, I'll call for the vote. All in favor? All opposed? Okay, motion fails. We'll take up the next issue, which is the papers messed up. The motion or the Mr. Kelton request to put the lease up for bids.
What was the discussion item I believe we had on first? done, we're already in quite a bit of discussion, but then I guess the question be, what do we want to talk about doing, perhaps a lease or a request for proposal, which would require a little of our county attorney's help, deciding what to do properly and doing that. So once again, I would like to invite my county attorney to come forward.
It's, I don't know, is it too soon? I went for very.
Well, we just didn't wait any different than we did last time.
Yeah, it's, we're gonna follow the same procedure we did, we adopted last time. I think it's all under 262.07, I think is the section. If we go out for proposals. Yeah, like Judge West said, we had the exact same procedure we used last time.
So we already got an outline to do this with?
We did.
So is it a matter of like posting this on the paper?
It is.
For an appropriate period of time?
It is, there's. It tells.
The amount of time is statutory.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's statutory. It just tells you need to put a notice, this notice for this time, and you need to make these days. It's, we've got it now, we can look at.
That was my discussion, I don't know if there are any other discussions.
I think on certain taxes, that would be to do it, so we won't be over any kind of, like, an investigation with some higher up we don't need. A little gray area in there as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it won't be a matter of gray area because we won't have any control over what the companies bid. It will simply be a question of bids that comply with the bid specs that we put out. And.
Get all the production of all that respect, we won't always expect the other bidding parties.
And they may well come back with the current.
Well, I'll tell you what, y'all just email to me what you want to be in the bid spec. Obviously, the price, the term. Tell me what else.
Well, that would be what?
Not today.
We're having out there.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to tell, if there were any concerns about insurance and those types of things, offer, write up some suggestions and email them to the judge as far as about who could pay for what, who pays for upkeep.
Well, the other coal contracts said they would pay for insurance, but my understanding, we've been paying for insurance now. Maybe they're paying insurance, I don't know.
Commissioner Kelton, that's neither here nor there. You're discussing the
It's irrelevant.
What you're saying is irrelevant.
They've already said they're gonna reimburse us for any insurance that they haven't paid.
Okay. He was asking when he was certified, that's what we're talking about.
I don't know that that needs to go into the specs because that's a part of the lease. You let the bidder put into the lease what they want to bid. We don't have to sell them.
You ask them to send you suggestions and if they've got anything that's they're causing heartburn, just send an email.
Well, the lease, I mean, the insurance is a little bit complicated because a portion of the building we do occupy currently, and they do also. I mean, so there could be some confusion on the insurance. That's the reason there might be different reasons.
And it'll be a little different this time because we're not doing all the construction and, you know, it's a portion of the building and that portion we're just leasing straight up lease.
Well, let's take 4 and 5 at the same time. I mean, there's no consideration of possible approval. The discussion regarding the lease of the building or initiating the bid process, that's a discussion that would follow a motion. So if you want to make a motion to initiate the bid process, now's the time to make it.
That's for the next item then?
And the next item really should be the only one on there, and then discussion follows the motion. So is there a motion to initiate the bid process for the juvenile detention bill?
I make a motion to initiate the bid process for the juvenile detention bill.
I second.
All in favor? Okay. Any opposed? All right, now, in the meantime, is there any objection to TruCor maintaining its occupation of the building?
Yes.
I would agree with him.
No problem with our management, all that, I think.
item six is the approval of sale. I do not have a voting opinion yet on that, so let's pass item six. And is Mark Johnson here?
Yes, Mark.
Boy, I couldn't see. Item seven, Mark, consideration of possible approval of employee retiree insurance program.
I'm bringing some copies. I thought she sent that email out.
Good morning, sir.
How are y'all? So I had that little email here that I sent Ann.
She said it.
Good.
I actually haven't seen it.
Probably Friday or Thursday.
I'd read it.
I'll have it back.
Well, what wonderful information have you got for us?
Well, if you want to cover some retirees, I've got some information that I'm going to deliver today. I can go ahead and start. Of all the TAC counties, 119 do offer retiree coverage. 11 of those 119 counties pay 100% of them. The others pay some portion. In your situation, if you decide to do this, you would not want to charge the retiree any more than $200, or it takes the grandfather status away from our current group health plan for the whole county. Which brings in those big mandates back in 2010, which would raise our premium for the whole county. So $200 would be the max to charge the retiree if he or she was going to take retiree coverage. Another part of my comments would be that once they reach age 65, they automatically come off the plan. They're eligible for Medicare, they come off. If they receive another job that offers health insurance after they retire here, they have to come off. My understanding, there's, Wayne, you might help me with this, there's probably three or four currently.
Right now, we've got no more than five, probably four, and there won't be any more for at least 3 years. And those, so probably all the loans will be rotated out because the age is probably 65.
Right. So basically, what you're talking about is some, you can stipulate in your plan document, which we help you write that. That it would have to be 55 or 60 year age, whichever. 55 or 25 years of service. So you stipulate your plan, you pretty much say what you want to say. But that was something that's pretty common, 65 years of age. Because a lot of these guys, I keep these guys, I know who they are. I mean, there's deputy sheriffs and like that. They've been here since they were young. They got 25, 30 years in. Here they are, 55 years old, or 56, 57, and can't really retire because of the cost of insurance out in the marketplace. So here we are.
What requirements?
Thanks, Ann.
Can we make any requirement we want to qualify for it, or are we set as a some certain parameter? Like you said, you have to be 55 and have 25 years of service, or?
What most counties do is years of service only. Most counties. But you could do years of service and age, you know.
So a total of 80, or is that what? 55 and 25. Mm-hmm. But if they were 50 and had 30 years service, that would still amount to 80.
Yeah, absolutely, and I recommend you do that.
Right.
Say it again.
I would recommend you do an age like 55 instead of years. And,
or a combination
of two. I wouldn't do that.
It's not the total years. It's 55 or 25 years service. My suggestion.
The age is a big factor.
Why did you make your suggestion? I mean, I was asking.
Well, that's what most of the counties do. You might open it up to some other people that are like 45 years old, if you didn't put the age in there. They might start working here when they're 18.
Yeah.
About 30 years of service. So you put an age in there, you know what I mean?
I'll give you are suggesting a bigger grenade, I missed it.
Yes.
I misunderstood.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're on the same page, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So you see any pitfalls for us doing this? I mean, there are some trade-offs, you talk about these people's high seniority, and move on out. As far as offset.
Like some of these salaries, the difference between their salaries and even hiring experienced people, the salary would be enough, salary would be enough less, and we'll jump over the cost right there on savings on salary.
Yeah, you're looking at it, if the county made them pay $200 for their insurance, and not all of them are gonna take it. Some may be covered elsewhere, can get covered elsewhere, but they do, you're looking at $74 a year.
My worst case scenario, they pay the $200, best case, we pay it off.
Right.
That's gonna be a $400 if you're paying for it.
What about somebody whose spouse is still working, they are covered, they?
They couldn't get it.
They have coverage available to them.
Through their spouse at work, they would have to take that.
You could state in your document that they have to take it.
Or sometime between.
If they had coverage offered to them through their spouse, you could write that in your document if you wanted to.
Not have it or have it either one?
Well, that they wouldn't be allowed on the plan here.
In other words, they're still able to get insurance, like, maybe their wife's still working where they have insurance and they can go.
Yeah, well, at this point, our wives are on for like $200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if we made them pay $200, we'd be able to pay another $200 for their wife or not.
Are you saying to add the wife on this coverage? I would.
Just leave them on?
Most counties make it to the employee.
Well, let's leave my suggestion. Well, I mean, we don't wanna make it a financial burden on the county, but I think that people have shown that kind of loyalty to the county, so, I mean, you know, they need to.
You can narrow it down to what your wants are.
And you know, as a rule, of course, we've got the 55-year age in there, but as a rule, you take a 22 or 24-year-old kid goes to work for the county, well, benefits don't mean nothing to them, and all they wanna do is, well, hey, let's go to work, you know. So the ones that, you know, start and stay, and, you know, and then, like I say, these five people that possibly, they're, within 2 or 3 years, they're gonna be 65 anyway. And I don't think we'll have any more come home, but then maybe one or two. And then everywhere I've surveyed, they're a long way off.
Well, like I say, there's 119 counties that offer retiree coverage.
That's not in half the county.
One other question, so are there any cases, I mean, I don't know, that at some point, maybe they already have, anybody ever end up on like Medicaid probably before they've reached 65, that would take us off out of the picture?
Well, yes, if they become Medicaid disabled, or Medicaid, which I wouldn't see Medicaid. But Medicare disability, you could add that on there as well.
Yeah.
Because anytime they're eligible for Medicare, they come off this law, whether they're disabled or they reach age 65.
If they become disabled or age, or if they find another job that offers insurance, they're not accepted.
That's correct.
And or if their spouse, we said, has got a job with insurance.
So we leave the spouses off.
Well, if the spouse still works and has insurance, that would make our guy ineligible.
Well, yeah, that, she could put him on for the $200, right?
Yeah, or whatever it is.
Somebody works for us.
Well.
But I think that's gonna be the case.
They wouldn't have to work for us.
Yeah, she might be working for.
Oh, another company, yeah.
Work for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever, you know, it's the right thing. I kinda always expect the best.
You really narrowed it down that way.
Sometimes I'm disappointed, but most of the time not.
I understand what you're saying, I think it may kind of wash when the people retire out, and I know there are, already have retired, that they can't afford to retire.
Came with the first.
Right.
The first budget analysis, it was here the other day, it came, and it showed where it was doable, plus all several other things we asked for, and we're in the black. That's encouraging.
At some point, you decide if it becoming a burden for the county, can you drop this and still stay in the burden of other?
Would you have to keep the ones that you already offered that to own, but no longer?
Well.
Previous, future employees or something?
You're gonna find yourself in a world of moral dilemma in some way.
Yeah.
So, you can take them off, but that'd be a tough call.
Before you, and a company kind of deal with it, probably 10 to 15 years down the road, pardon the numbers that all the head of departments gave me about how long our employee employees been. And a bunch of the people that's got the age right now here at the courthouse, they're already 65. So, I mean, all of them agreed that it was a doable thing financially. I'm making a motion that we accept the deal for the retirees that are eligible that retire on the insurance program.
Well, let's let Mr. Johnson come up with some parameters.
Explain this picture to me.
I think Mr. Johnson needs to come up with the parameters.
Well, I need direction from you.
Yeah.
Let him write them up before we make the motion to do it.
But let me tell you that they're in the tax and the process of loading all the benefits right now and on the computer.
Yeah, I understand. We're late right now.
I could probably.
Everything that we discussed right here was 55 to 65. If they become disabled, go on to Medicare, they automatically drop off.
Correct.
If they're offered insurance through their spouse, another way.
Employer.
Yeah. They're off. If they take another job and are offered insurance, then they come off.
That's correct.
You know, everything that you discussed, William, or we discussed, I think that needs to be in it. We have it, and then I don't know if we need to act on it later this week.
If you could, they've asked me ASAP.
And we're talking $200 that they're going to pay.
Yes, correct.
If you want to include that, yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'll accept any.
I just think we need to have it written down before we vote on it.
We already discussed those parameters, now what they were going to be.
It would be my suggestion. This is my suggestion that the employer pay the $200.
All right.
$200.
I'll do that.
Because they show good. I mean, that's.
Do you want me to get these parameters to Ann?
Yeah.
Or to who?
That'd be fine. Are we meeting later this afternoon? Later today? That'd be too soon.
Cater for tax on that.
As soon as you get me an answer, it'd be great. I can get it written up this morning.
Okay.
Well,
that'd be fine. And if we're meeting later, we've got budget hearings later, we can pass this on till the budget time. We even can meet this afternoon in the budget hearing, budget workshops, and we can take that up and pass it then. If you can get it written up.
Yeah, I'll have all this right.
What all do you need to satisfy tax for their deadline?
If y'all can do it there tomorrow, it'd be great. Because the deadline
was the end of July. Right?
It really is in July.
If we can get enough information out there to do what we need to do.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
We'll come back and discuss that. I'll go over it again.
Use your approval from the court.
Yes.
Okay, that's what we need.
Yeah.
We'll
as soon as we get it written up and back to us, we'll act on it.
We'll recess this and make it up.
Yeah, we got it on the agenda, so we're having a meeting. We need more meeting today. That'd be right for us. I'm just trying to work with our dad.
Well, I can bring it back up to one of you guys.
Yeah.
That work?
Yeah.
I'll go to Tim.
You got all the information you need about this issue? We all agree on the terms there?
The only question I have is we're doing open enrollments for the county, and I need the commissioners, I guess I can work with Tim on that, to try to figure out when you want us there to talk to your employees. To talk about, we had a little change of benefits and just any new hires or anybody, so. Well, we've been talking.
Yeah, we've been talking.
Hey, I guess Mark, the next question would be an effective date. I don't know what the effective date on that would be.
New budget year, actually.
Start.
October 1st.
October 1st.
Yeah.
That would be the.
Everything takes effect October 1st.
That's probably in October 1st.
So if you can help me with these guys, so I'm part of the schedule.
I'll do my best.
I know.
We'll take this.
I'll come back to all this.
This item back up for discussion and vote again. Actually, we're going to.
Later tonight.
We're going to do the rest of our business. We will recess.
All right. I'll go write it up right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hard for you.
Appreciate it. All right.
Not lag, not lose, but Matt. Chris, say it for me. Krishki.
Now that y'all are all talked out, let's talk about internet.
Morning, man.
Morning,
y'all.
Here, I'm sitting this room. I've got enough room. Okay, we offer certain things to the public to be able to access on the internet that comes back to here. Commissioner Portman,
jail records, some of the services through the JP's office. In the past, our current, that those services use our internet connection just like we inside the building use our internet connection. In the past, we've been able to handle that. The district attorney's office now has their document management system that allows viewing of discovery evidence online by the defense lawyers. That has now become an issue because there's a lot of digital media, phone downloads, where they're just getting ready to start streaming video, almost like YouTube does. That is putting a major tax on our current internet connection. So, I have looked into upgrading. Well, we can just put a Band-Aid on the situation for another 1 month, but it's 6 months to a year, I'll be back here to do this again. Because as we move on technologically and as law enforcement moves on technologically with evidence collection, that service will continue to use more and more manually. So we looked into I'm going to say future proof here, but let's call it 6 or 7 year proof because you never know. Currently, we have a 20 megabit connection that is our bandwidth allowed to us, and that serves both the courthouse and the sheriff's office. What they are offering us right now is a 100 megabit connection for the courthouse. That's 5 times what we're getting right now, as well as a dedicated 50 megabit connection solely for the sheriff's office. So they would have their own dedicated connection. And they're struggling, I think, Vance, they can vouch for us here. And then on top of that, with that package, they would connect those two connections together so that if our, right now we connect the buildings with wireless transmitter, if and when, because they do, when they go down, this connection would pick up and allow them to continue to get back to that data. So it would act as a what we call a VPN. So it would be a backup connection. So this is a significant improvement over where we are right now. We are currently paying about $750 a month for our connection.
$750?
Yep. So this is about twice that. But in terms of bandwidth, we are looking at nearly 6 to 7 times our current bandwidth. And this would make it to where we would not have to come back in a year and up the bandwidth again because of whatever demands we might have technologically.
Have you been able to figure out the people streaming videos or music or whatever in the courthouse?
Yes.
Is it not affecting this, or it is affecting this?
It was only affecting it to a minor degree. My major concern was isolating that traffic to see if it was the major concern or if a lot of our traffic was coming from the DA's new service. I mean, I needed to isolate that traffic so that we knew what was doing what, to know whether we just needed to clamp down more on usage or if we really did, or we really were gonna need more. So this would be a solution. This is a 36-month contract, so 3-year contract. And it also includes what they call quality of service, which means this is not a connection that's like your DSL at home where it's gonna go up and down and it's gonna be slow sometimes and not be slow sometimes. They will have a dedicated data center for us, and they will make sure that we get the bandwidth that they say we're going to get. That's not something you get with your residential or your standard home stuff, and it's guaranteed uptime. It will not go down. If it goes down, they will shift us to another data center on the fly to make sure it comes back up.
And is that something you can measure here, the bandwidth?
Yes. Yeah, and that's exactly what I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 weeks as far as trying to figure out what's going on with ours.
Well, how much employee time are we losing right now because of the slow connection of a bunch?
I can't say in terms of time. All I can say is in terms of what kind of data we're it's technical. That would be a department head question.
Sheriff would nod his head, yes.
It's bad over there, bro.
Yeah. I mean, now, are you talking about employee time wasted on the internet?
I'm talking about whether it's waiting for something to load or won't load.
As far as wasted, they're having some significant time losses there. And even I've had, just when I was trying to work on this problem, downloading firmware fixes for our hardware, things like that was taking forever.
How about you and y'all? Y'all been having slow?
From time to time, I mean, my indigent program is internet based as well, and then
we're probably losing way more than $750.
It's very potentially, especially at the sheriff's office, and allowing them their own dedicated line, not only removes that traffic from this end, but their traffic doesn't have to travel over to another building to come through. We initially did that to try to save some money, but this is going to work out a lot better.
What's the timeline? What's the technical setup and running?
As far as I know, on our end, since the hardware is already here and they've already run the fiber, they just basically have to flip a switch. I mean, they can up our bandwidth pretty much immediately. On the sheriff's office side, they will have to run fiber into their data closet and get that set up. And on our end, when they did that 2 or 3 years ago, it took a couple of weeks maybe.
Is there any charge for that setup?
The quote shows the one-time charge on both of these at $0. And I will clarify, that's what that means to me. Is
they're just getting us off, speed them up until they got it done.
They'll speed up significantly because our connection over here will immediately be five times what it was. And so everybody, including them, should see a major improvement.
Well, how are we going to pay for this? That's the major question. What fund do we normally pay that particular? What's that one coming out of?
Well, I know that it doesn't come, it's not paid out of the IT budget specifically.
No,
I think
not.
It comes out of the general telephone.
Yeah, each department has their own telephone, which includes their internet. So that we would have to adjust budget cost and current year budget to account for the increase. Well, I take that back. When would the first billing period be?
It depends on when the turn-up date is. That they don't have that information here, mainly because this is the quote, and I'd have to get it approved, and then they would give me a timeline.
So we're on this. So it would be each individual department's, because everybody's got their own phone, which includes their own internet.
Right.
So it's going to get allocated.
You're prorated to them.
Allocated to each department's utility bill.
Well.
This specific number, I would not say is a current necessity. It will be in the future. Like I said, we can do something like just 100 megabit connection over here. That's only an increase of about $200 a month from what we're paying.
Well, most everybody's already over their telephone bill anyway because the criteria went up. So we're already going to have to do budget amendments to accommodate that.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of updating our current year budget that we're working on for this increase. I would assume pro rata across the departments.
Well, in order to get
sheriff gets his own increase.
Sorry.
Bring it up.
In order to get ahead of the curve, though, we need to do, in your opinion, to go and do the. They're kind of pushing ahead of the game.
Yes, and I mean, I'm thinking about the future here and what we'll need in the future because, I mean, if you think about what we needed just a year ago versus now what we're required. I mean, we have increased exponentially and it will only get bigger from here.
And if we have two different lines, we can integrate that also make it more redundant.
It absolutely, and that's one of the things we're looking at here is redundancy and uptime. And because as we rely more on especially digital data storage when it comes to evidence, and they have to upload all of their stuff to that DA site as well, to the document management. So they're working with it over on that end, But as we do that, the more things go digital, not only the more requirements we're going to have on this end as far as moving the data, but protecting the data too. We're going to have to look more into things like data redundancy, and I'm going to look this next year at upping our backup system, basically trying to make it a little more redundant, maybe from an extra backup system. We back up two tapes, but I would also like to back up to the cloud, but online basically, which we haven't been able to do because we don't have the bandwidth to move that kind of data off site. We would be able to do this. This would be a starting point for that as well.
Okay. We've got 20 now. Okay, but this is a 3-year contract, right?
3-year contract.
Okay, are we going to need 150? That's 130 more megabytes, or whatever they're calling it. If it's just a 3-year contract, are we wasting some? We're going to have to renegotiate, I guess, after 3 years anyway, right?
Yes, after 3 years. And in the contract, really, it locks in this price, which the prices only go down, basically. So in that sense, because if this has actually gone down significantly from when we first, we can get what we're getting right now for much cheaper if we renegotiate it right now, which is one of the things we actually
well, say. So are we wasting, if we get 150 right now, what 100 get us by for the 3 years, and then we renegotiate?
Well, after the 3 years, we can renegotiate that price, come up when it comes time to renew that. We can shorten the contract term, but it would increase the monthly price by shortening the contract term.
On the plus, I saw that we're going to give you two different lines that we can interconnect and give us less chance, more uptime, less chance.
I'm not a computer off, so I don't know.
Well, I understand. I agree.
It's a good thing.
I agree that it would be a good thing. It gives you a little more backup. It gives you less downtime. How much downtime we have? We've had some downtime.
We have had some downtime. Most of it is because the internet's just so slow, you can't work on it. We haven't had a lot of time in the last year where it's been just straight up down. Since we replaced our wireless transmitters about a year and a half ago, the downtime between the courthouse and the sheriff's office has been significantly less. But it still is affected, since it is over the air, it's affected by weather, high winds, you know, anything like that, which we haven't had to worry about for a while, but hopefully we will later. So having this as the backup, because if it went down, and it always goes down middle of the night on the weekend, something like that, if it goes down, this new line would immediately pick up, and they would continue to be able to move data back, which is important because jail relies on net data for basically everything they do. Bookends, paperwork, everything is through net data, and if it goes down, they have no access to it. So this adds a level of redundancy where if the wires went down, they would just pick up.
So could we schedule this to start October 1?
We could.
In our new budget. With our new budget, did we adjust our numbers on the budget?
Yeah, I'm sure.
We stay with what we've got until October 1, and this starts in.
Will that give us how many more, 2 more months of this? Or is it?
Well, about a month a week, really. We can limp along that long. It's been better in the last week.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. You never know.
Well, and that's the deal, is we're sitting at, I mean, we're at a level of service above residential, but it's still at a point where, you know, if we call, if something's wrong and we call, we sit on hold for however long, just like residential supposed to. With this service, there would be a, on my end, this is good because there would be a dedicated account rep that I have a straight direct line to for anything that went wrong. So when we wait on hold, if there's something wrong, they get on right then, and they would continue to monitor the uptime for us, so that if it does go down, they would immediately be shifting us over to another data center. You know, on our level now, if it did go down, then I would be calling and waiting on hold for however long and report the downtime, and then they might do something to fix it, or they would say, well, somebody cut a fiber line in San Angelo, so you're going to have to wait for it to repair it. And if something like that happened with this service, they would immediately immediately shift us. If we're running through San Angelo and somebody cuts a fiber line there, they would immediately shift us to run down.
Is it higher priority?
Yes, yeah, it would actually be, it's a service, what they call a service level agreement, which is one of the highest priority agreements. So we would be sitting real well on that.
With everything being said, I move that we enter into a new agreement with Frontier for this internet service at $16.35 per month beginning October 1.
All in favor?
We will get our Wi-Fi service back,
right? Absolutely.
And that would mean,
You'll get back. As a matter of fact, I'll go turn it back on here just as it's there.
But even like you get your first bill October 1st, because I know it's going to take you out, so you realize we want the first billing of this October 1st.
Yes, yeah, and I'll make that clear that that's.
Maybe I'll go ahead and be working on it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Emily. Approve the accounts payable as presented by the auditor.
All in favor? Passed. Unanimous. We're going to sign your correct minutes and pass them around, correct?